In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. On this, the feast of the Nativity of our Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ, it's easy for us to contemplate the great goodness that comes to us in the Christ. The reality of it is offering of himself. It is God who gives us the great gift that is Jesus Christ, and it's Christ himself who offers the very great sacrifice of the cross on Calvary Hill, which we commemorate, participate in every time we're at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. But in the end, it's all about our disposition. How are we disposed to it? We see the reality, two examples. One, the perfect example, and one, the human example, which requires effort. Both have the right end, because ultimately we could pick what is not said in the Scripture, but would still be true. The first greatest example is Our Lady Mary Most Holy. Remember, our Lord's birth is a miraculous birth. Do not watch those movies made by the Protestant heretics, which always have Our Lady in labor, in terrible pain. That is truly heretical. The earliest sources say that Our Lady, and remind you that Joseph and Mary were not immigrants who couldn't find a home. That's all balderdash. Joseph had relatives in Bethlehem. The reason he wanted to go to the inn was he wanted complete privacy for Our Lady, because when you go to a relative's house, everyone lived in the same room. The living room, the bedroom, the dining room were all the same room. There'd be no privacy. There would be no sacredness. This is why Joseph is trying to find room at the inn. There was an inn in our Lord's time that dates all the way back to the prophet Jeremiah. Inns were large buildings, structures, that had little alcoves within them and one big main common room. And one would rent one of those little alcoves to find the privacy they desired. But there was no room at the inn. So Joseph is not wandering, as too many silly plays indicate, trying to find a place to stay. The reality is he knew exactly what he was doing. He wanted privacy for Our Lady because he knew what was going to happen was miraculous. He was not even there when our Lord was miraculously born. And again, the early sources tell us that Our Lady was astonished after she prepared everything, because the reality of our Lord's birth was effortless, as the fathers say, a light of ray passing through a window. So Our Lady gets to enjoy the great benefits of motherhood, but at the same time retains her virginity. And therein lies the key to understanding why she is so disposed so perfectly. Number one, because she has a right relationship with God, well educated by her parents, Saints Joachim and Anne, and therefore willfully disposed to everything that Christ does, even in his infancy. We hear it said, after all, that after the shepherd's visit, Our Lady meditates, contemplates on these things in her heart. Her whole life is about the Christ, just as it would be for St. John the Baptist. And so this is what disposition is supposed to look like. The Church has us in the context of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, with all of the symbolism and all of the mystery there, contemplating that mystery of the Incarnation. But it takes effort. And therefore we see what it looks like for the normal human who is not the Immaculate Conception, or like St. John the Baptist, conceived in original sin but born without it. We see it in the shepherds themselves. They're told by the angels what is happening. Now remember, shepherds are considered the worst of people in Jewish society at the time, because they were nomadic. They didn't have families in the ordinary sense. They were always on the move, and therefore they were looked down upon because they were considered unstable, because they were constantly moving to feed their flocks. No one wanted to be a shepherd. One did it out of necessity. And they were considered untrustworthy, and they were considered those who, they would say, would not respect private property. In other words, they were often accused of stealing. And so no doubt there were a lot of shepherds who saw the vision of the angels. And there are those who go to Bethlehem to see what the angels were speaking of. These would be the shepherds who know that they are in need of God's help. They must have a right order relationship with God in some way, shape, or form for them to be disposed to listen to the grace and also to listen to the angels. No doubt there were probably shepherds who knew they couldn't leave their flocks and therefore did not, and they missed everything because worldly responsibility took precedence over the great crises of God becoming man, breaking into the human experience and reclaiming what the devil had rightfully taken because of Adam and Eve choosing to become subservient to the devil by their sin. And no doubt there were probably those shepherds that weren't interested at all, that wanted to just sleep, probably even irritated by the brightness of the angels ruining their night's sleep. But there were those who made the effort. And mind you, even though when you go to Bethlehem now, they will take you to a nearby place, but it was probably a little further out for the actual shepherds, and they had to make a real effort to get back into the area where the cave was, where our Lord was born. They made the effort. They listened to the message of the angels, and they made the effort. And so too many want to believe that the Catholic life is like the Protestant life. Protestant life is based on the arch-heretic Martin Luther. They don't have to do anything to be saved except accept Jesus as personal Lord and Savior. And that, of course, couldn't be further from the truth looking at Scripture itself. No, the faith requires effort. Show me faith without works, St. James says, and I will show you a faith that is dead. And do remember, Martin Luther wanted St. James out of the Bible when he reconfigured the Bible to get his propagandistic satanic faith started. So consider the reality of effort. You make the effort by being here when contemporary wisdom would tell you should be at home tearing open gifts and receiving gifts from each other as though somehow this honors Christ, you receiving gifts. Instead, you choose to be here. And ultimately, this is the right order of things. For Nativity, the Feast of Nativity, Christmas, the Mass of Christ, is not about the tearing open of presents or even about family. It's about the Mass of Christ. Because as I told you at Advent, at every Mass you are sacramentally present, not only to the suffering, death, and resurrection, but also to whatever mystery the Church is directing us. And in this case, we are literally present during the Mass to the birth of the Savior. And therefore you've been given the chance to be like the shepherds, to hear the messages that were given to you, and to come to the Christ and see Him yourself. And indeed you will see Him raised high above the altar. And again, as St. John Chrysostom observed, not as Mary holding the infant will you see the Lord on Christmas Day, but you will see the Lord elevated in Mass by the hands of the priest. You've come to see the Christ. You have listened to the message of the angel. And now everything can be right ordered for you, even the tearing open of presents and the reality of family life. If it is ordered towards the Christ, then all the loves are ordered properly, and there's more joy, there's more contentment, and there's indeed more authentic love. And it is indeed a good idea to contemplate, to step back for a moment, and contemplate in your own life, especially those of you in family life who will have functions today, for all the goodness and imperfections of your loved ones. It is God who has brought you all together. It is God who has wanted you to be a family. Contemplate that and make Christ the center of that family life and see the fruits that will grow from it. Be like the shepherds who went out of their way to see the Christ first before anything else. Be like Our Lady who contemplates and meditates on the wonderful things even the infant Savior did. And don't be like the shepherds that stayed behind or the shepherds that were too engrossed in the world to go back to Bethlehem to see the great miracle. And be mindful in particular when the host is raised above the altar. It is exactly as Jesus said, "When I am raised up, I will call all men to myself." He literally calls you to himself at the elevation because that is him raised on the cross. Embrace what he affords you, salvation. And then you'll discover, yes, you desperately need the Savior, and yes, we are profoundly grateful that He has come to us, which is what we are commemorating on this, the Feast of the Nativity of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father.